Well, good morning, BCF. So glad to be with you this morning. If you have a Bible, open it up to Luke chapter 8. We're continuing our sermon series through the book of Luke, the gospel according to Luke. And we'll be reading and examining and studying verses 1 through 21. This is the word of the Lord. Soon afterward, he went through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while and in a time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and the fruit does not mature. And for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. And his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Father, we come this morning to worship and to praise you. And we ask you to teach us to speak through your word this morning. But Father, we need ears to hear. And so would you soften our hearts to receive and to hear your word today. And Father, in the end, would you make us more like Christ? And would you bring yourself all the glory that is due your name? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it is a delight to be with you this morning. And as we gathered together, studying this passage, I had a flashback to my days in college of going to church and this wonderful pastor that I really enjoyed his teaching and preaching. And I learned much from. But there was one sermon that stood out in the years that I was at this church. I'm sure he'd be encouraged that I still even remember one sermon all those years ago. And his sermon was, what is a good sermon? That was what he was teaching on, and he had 2 points. I know he was supposed to have 3, but he only had 2 points for that sermon. The first is that a good sermon involves good preaching that is faithful to the word, expositing the truths of the scriptures so that all listening can profit from its teaching, be rebuked when necessary, be corrected when wrong, and be trained in righteousness. So good preaching, good faithful preaching of the word. But the second point was good hearing of the word. To make the preaching of the word or the teaching of the word effective, those listening need to hear rightly the word of God, need to digest the word of God, meditate on the word of God throughout the week to come, and allow God, through the hearing and believing and then living of the word, to produce fruit in their life. What is a good sermon? Good preaching and good hearing. Well, I think our passage today focuses really on that second point significantly, about hearing the word of God. And so this morning, as we walk through this section of scripture, we will first deal with why Jesus taught in parables in the first place. Second, we'll do a brief overview of the four soils and their response to the hearing of the word. And then third, we'll look at what Jesus says really about the fourth soil and what it means to bear fruit with patience. So let's begin here with one of the biggest questions that many have and that the disciples had of Jesus. What does this parable mean? I mean, I think this parable is called the parable of the sower. That's what we call it. But I think it really could be called the parable of the soils. That's probably more likely. But that doesn't change the struggle to understand what Jesus is meaning. And so the disciples say, what does this parable mean? And Jesus answers, verse 10, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. So he's going to explain this parable, but he says all parables are for this purpose. There's lots in this verse, in verse 10. And it's all connected to the secrets of the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is not of this world, but it's the kingdom that is established, will be established fully, and will last forever. If you could go back in your mind and remember when we taught through the book of Daniel, we got into Daniel chapter 2, and there's this dream that Nebuchadnezzar has of the statue, and it's made up of all different parts. But in the end, every part gets crushed and destroyed. And in the end, even the feet get crushed by this stone that then grows into this mountain and stands forever. Well, all the way back there in Daniel, God is saying there is this kingdom of mine that is coming, and it's going to take over every kingdom one day, and all other kingdoms of this world are going to go away. And so at the incarnation of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, Jesus brings with him the kingdom of God, but not in the fullness yet. So the kingdom is here and not yet. And so Jesus teaches often throughout Luke. You'll notice the kingdom of God is a phrase that Luke includes from Jesus' teaching many, many times. But the fullness of the kingdom is going to come when Jesus returns for the second time. And that's why we pray, come, Lord Jesus, because we want the fullness of God's kingdom to come and reign supreme with Christ as king. So Jesus here tells us that there is this kingdom of God, but there are secrets. Which is interesting, isn't it? There are secrets to the kingdom, which means that these secrets are actually knowable. Somebody can know the secrets, but yet other people will not be able to know what the secrets are. And Jesus says here in very plain language that he teaches so that some will not see and will not hear the secrets of the kingdom of God. So the parables reveal, but they also conceal the truths about the kingdom of God. But why? Why would Jesus teach in this way? Why would he withhold these truths of the kingdom from certain people? Well, I think it's because of the hardness of people's hearts, that they don't want to hear. They don't want to be a part of the kingdom of God. What's interesting is here in verse 10, Jesus actually quotes Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9. Isaiah is being called as a prophet to the people. They've hardened their hearts towards God. They've sinned against God, turned from him. Isaiah is going to come and proclaim the word of God to call them to repent and come back to God. And God says they're not going to see and they're not going to hear because their hearts are hard. And so in a sense, when he sends Isaiah And when Jesus teaches in parables, it's a form of judgment on people that have hardened their hearts towards God. Some people do not want to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. They don't want to be a citizen of God's kingdom. And so when Jesus teaches, they don't understand. See, becoming a citizen of the kingdom of God, Paul tells us that in Philippians 3:20. As believers in Jesus, our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, to be a citizen of the kingdom of God requires a switching of our primary citizenship from the United States or whatever country you're from, and switching it. And our primary citizenship now becomes of the kingdom of God. It's really a changing, a switching of allegiances away from things of this world and to things of God. It's a primary changing of our allegiance away from earthly family to God's family. The allegiance to our own dreams and desires for our lives, to God's will for our lives. It's changing our allegiance of how the world should be run politically, or our careers, or our financial goals. And it's submitting to Jesus Christ as King, as Savior and Lord. Now, we still live in this world as citizens of heaven, of the kingdom of God. We still live in this world. We operate in this world. We need to think about all of those things. But our citizenship, our allegiance, our loyalty is primarily to Jesus and the kingdom of God. And for some, they do not want to change their allegiance. They do not want to submit to Christ. And so in judgment, Christ comes and he teaches in parables as a form of judgment that the things of the kingdom of God will remain secret to them. So the word of God is always effective, even if someone does not respond, because Jesus says it really is a form of judgment on them for rejecting God and his word. They will deal with God for that rejection. And yet for others, there's this gift of knowing the secrets. You see that in verse 10? To you, this is his disciples, many disciples, to you it has been given to know. So if you read the parables and you have a sense of understanding what Jesus has said, that's a gift that God has softened your heart. He's opened your ears and you've heard and understood. That's a gift from God. Because left to ourselves, we would reject God, but God draws us to himself and he allows us to understand what he's teaching so that then we can obey him as citizens of the kingdom of God and as Lord and Master. So this knowledge that we have, the understanding even of this parable and other parables, is a gift. It's a gift of God. It's by his grace and it's for the blessing of his people. So that's why Jesus teaches in parables. That's really important for us to understand as you read through the Gospels. And so now let's get into this specific parable. Let's just highlight each of the four soils to make sure we understand what Jesus is saying about these. Now, in this passage, the soil really is related to the heart. If you look in verse 12 and 15, you'll see that Jesus talks about the heart. So when he uses soil, it's the picture of the heart of the person hearing the word of God and then what their heart does related to that hearing. So it's really about right hearing. This parable is not about what is the minimum response required to believe to be a Christian. Daryl Bach says, actually, Jesus is focused on fruitfulness and promoting ethical righteousness for those who live as citizens of the kingdom of God. So this is about our fruitfulness and our righteousness. That's the point of this. So he has four different soils that Jesus teaches. First, the person hears the word of God, but the devil comes and takes away the word. This is where we see spiritual warfare is real. The devil is seeking to keep people from receiving the word of God. Now, notice the gospel is heard by this person. They hear it, but they don't understand it. They don't receive it because it's stolen. It's taken away. There becomes no affection for Christ. And we know from many other scriptures that the devil does this through lies and deception. So the devil is at work. We need to pray against the schemes of the devil as we proclaim the gospel, that he would not take that word from people's hearts. Then we have a second soil. It's the one who receives the word, hears and receives the word with great joy. I mean, they're on fire. They are excited for the Lord. But then difficulties come, trials come, even persecution may come. And Jesus says they fall away because the joy, the excitement at the start was only at the surface. The seed, which is the word, never dug deep because there's rocks inside the heart. It's stone still. And so the seed can't dig deep and get nourishment and grow. And so when the scorching heat of trials come, they wither because there's no moisture. They do not endure. The third soil is the one who receives the word. But the word is growing in the midst of thorns. And the thorns end up choking out the word of God. And the fruit that may have been there never matures. They never really grow. What are the thorns? Well, Jesus tells us they're the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life. The things of this world crowd out the things of God's word and the kingdom. So all three of these first soils hear the word. They hear the word, but they don't hear the word rightly because it does not bear mature fruit. It's either snatched away or it's not deeply rooted or it's crowded out, choked out by the cares of the world, riches and pleasures of life. So the main point is, even though that they hear the word, there is not this long lasting mature fruit in their life. This is what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God. God wants us to bear fruit and to resemble him, to portray him to the world around us. And the second and third soils don't do that. But then there's the fourth soil, the good soil that has the honest and good heart who bears fruit with patience. We'll deal more with specifically the third and fourth in a moment. So all four hear the word of God, but not all four hear in the same way. Now, the problem with the first three soils is not the word of God. The problem is never the word of God. The problem is not that the word of God or the gospel was not presented winsomely. It was not presented so well that everybody could understand everything. No, if the gospel and the word of God is proclaimed faithfully according to the scripture, the problem is never the word of God. The problem is the heart of the one hearing. If there is no reception of the word, if there is no fruit of the word, the issue is my heart. Not God's word. This is why, well, in Isaiah 55:11, God says this, that when he speaks his word, it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. So when God speaks, it always accomplishes exactly what he wants. So the issue is not with him and his word. The issue is with us. We're the problem. This is why Jesus, in verse 18, if you notice, he says, take care then how you hear. Take care how you hear. We don't just want to hear the words. We need to receive and then live. That's true hearing. It's why he says in verse 21 that he's got this new family. And who is his family? Those who hear the word of God and do it. And do it. So for those of you who have yet to trust in Christ, you're hearing the word of God. You hear the good news of the gospel that even though you have sinned against him, God has sent his son to live the perfect life in your place, to then die on the cross to pay for your sin. And if you trust in him through faith, you can be forgiven of all your sin, made right before God and become a child of God and then become a citizen of the only eternal kingdom. The kingdom of God. But you need to hear rightly. You need to hear and believe and then live out what God is telling you. Don't believe the lies of the world. Don't believe the lies that your own heart tells you. Don't believe the lies of the evil one. The word of God is truth. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only way to be with God forever. Will you trust him? Will you hear the word and receive it and then bear fruit? For others that identify as Christians, as followers of Christ, you have to ask, is the word deep in our hearts? Have I heard the word, received it with joy, but when trials come, when the suffering comes or persecution comes, I see myself falling away. I see myself moving away. Maybe you're the third soil, though. Maybe you've heard and you receive the word of God, but it's being choked out by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life. And your fruit, the fruit of righteousness of the kingdom of God, is not maturing and growing. This third soil is not some imaginary soil. It's real. Paul actually tells us about someone who dealt with this. You never want to be written in the scriptures in this way. But in 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas is. Paul says, Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me. Demas, in love with the present world, has deserted me. We need to ask ourselves, am I in love with this present world? Am I caring more about the things of this life and pleasures and riches that they're choking out the word of God? How do I know? How do I know if I'm in danger of being this third soil, which I think I'm tempted to be all the time? Well, I think one way is to ask myself, who am I listening to? Who am I hearing? What is the fruit of my life? There's lots of things we could listen to and then adapt our life to. I could be listening to the economic reality of the world and the stock market and seek to gather money for myself just to look after me instead of bearing the fruit of generosity. Or I could be listening to the news and allowing it to shape my perception of the world. Or I could be taking every thought captive to obey Christ. Or I could be listening to all kinds of blogs or podcasts that start to puff me up with knowledge. And yet I have no love, and so I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Or I could read websites or books or you name it that tell me something I already think is true, and so therefore I'm convinced them I'm right about all things and others are completely wrong. And I get puffed up with pride instead of being humble. Do I listen to political pundits tell me about how to solve all the problems of the world instead of hearing from Christ and his word and seeking to live in accordance with the word of God and the gospel, which is the hope for the world? See, I need to ask myself, who am I listening to? Who am I hearing? Who is the king to whom I'm bowing my knee? Is it myself? Is it the president of the United States? Or a future president? Or a financial advisor? Or a news commentator? Who is it that I'm listening to? Who am I hearing? And am I rightly hearing the word of God as a citizen of the kingdom of God and living ethically and righteously as God would have me? See, in any of these cases, the danger is that we have heard the word, but the seed was planted amidst all of these thorns in our lives. And the only way for the fruit to mature in such a manner that would to lead us to live this ethically righteous life as a part of the kingdom of God is we need to remove the thorns. We need to remove the idols and the sin that so easily entangles, the other voices that are taking precedence in my life. And I need to make God and his word speak the loudest. I need to hear rightly the word of God. And then I need to obey and live what he tells me to do in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, none of this means we put our head in the sand and we ignore the things of the world. No, we're still citizens here, but this is not our primary citizenship. It's with God in the kingdom of God. And what he wants for us is to be the fourth soil, the one that grows mature fruit. So what's filling your heart and mind? Jesus told us in Matthew 15, 18, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And here what he's saying is the word of God needs to be heard and received in the heart and then lived out. The temptation is that we would allow the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life to choke out the word of God. So whose voice is loudest in your ears right now? Is it the Lord or is it someone else? Jesus tells us, be careful how you hear. We want to hear the word of God. We want to receive the word of God. And then we want to live the word of God. And this is the fourth soil. The person that hears, holds fast, and bears fruit with patience. What is the fruit? Well, you read the word, you see all kinds of this fruit. Love and generosity and joy and peace and humility and patience and justice and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, bearing with others' burden, bearing up others' burdens, goodness, building up the body of Christ, being in fellowship with other believers, living at peace with others as best as you are able, offering your body as a living sacrifice, and on and on and on and on. The fruit of the kingdom of God is what Jesus says the fourth soil, the fourth person produces. And it's because they've heard rightly. They've listened well to the word and they've adhered to the word and they've let it take root in their life. And when it does, it blossoms into this fruit of righteousness of the kingdom through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what's interesting in this passage, Jesus tells us this parable. He explains the parable, but right before the parable and right after the parable, he gives these other teachings. He talks about these women, which we'll deal with in a moment. And then he says this in verse 16. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar and puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. Now, why does Jesus include this after teaching and explaining the parable? Well, I think it's one of the fruits of the good soil is that one who truly is in Christ, who has heard and believed and is living out the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, allows the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the good news of the kingdom of God to shine forth from their light and as light through their words and their deeds. They don't hide that they're a follower of Jesus Christ. I think Jesus is telling his disciples, I want you to be the fourth soil that bears fruit with patience. How do you do that? Don't hide the light of the gospel. Let it shine forth through your life. This is why Jesus establishes the church so that we would be a witness to the kingdom of God, that there is this everlasting kingdom and that anybody who trusts in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins can be a citizen just like us, a citizen of the kingdom of God. What good news, what glorious news. And Jesus says, don't hide this light. Don't hide it. Let it shine brightly. This is part of bearing fruit with patience as we seek to tell others the good news of the kingdom of God through both our words and our deeds. It makes me ask myself, what do other people know about me? Do they know I'm a Christian? Or do they know my political affiliation or my vacation preferences or my schooling desires, whatever it is? What do they know most about me? And I fear that many of my neighbors or family members or friends don't really know me primarily as a Christian because I often hide my light. I don't want to do that. I want to be a citizen of heaven that shines his light brightly. It's part of the bearing fruit with patience. But then let's go back to the first three verses. Luke starts this passage telling the story about Mary and Joanna and Susanna. And I wonder why he does. I think that he's telling this story because they are another example of bearing fruit with patience. Now, this is a countercultural thing that Luke includes here. It's counterculture of what Jesus does. Is not only is he teaching women and helping them learn and understand the secrets of the kingdom of God, but they're following him. They're his disciples. This would have been very different, very radical in the day. But Jesus knows men and women, both created in the image of God, both equally valuable, both will be disciples. And so he teaches every, and here, Luke, if you read through Luke, he highlights women all the time. It's beautiful. And here he highlights these three women who have heard the word of God, the kingdom of God, received the word into their hearts, and now they're living out in obedience. They've been healed. They've experienced beautiful things from God, healing, freedom from demons, healing from infirmities. These women, even one of them, Joanna, seems to be very influential. Her husband, Cusa, is the household manager for Herod. So she's in an influential position, and yet she has chosen. We don't know the consequences. We don't know if her husband followed Christ, but there might have been consequences of her choosing to follow Jesus. And so here Luke includes these women, but I want you to notice two things about them. First is that they followed Jesus as he went through cities and villages. Their life became following Jesus where he was going. They did not choose the cares and the riches and the pleasures of their life. They chose to follow Christ. They produced fruit with patience. There were going to be trials and suffering and even persecution, but they're going to follow him. Their soil, it's not just an inch deep. They have started to remove the thorns of the cares and riches and pleasures of life so that the word of God would grow. And they follow Jesus wherever he went. And then secondly, notice there in verse 3 that they provided for them. That's Christ and the disciples. They provided for them out of their means. Again, the third soil, they care about the cares of this life, riches and pleasures. These women take their money, take the treasures that they have instead of hoarding them for themselves and spending it only on them. And we can spend things on ourselves. God gives us all good things to enjoy, but they choose to live a life of generosity. They take their money and they give it to Jesus and his disciples so they can minister and continue to travel and proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. Why are these women here? Because they heard the word of God. They believed the word of God. And then they lived the word of God, bearing fruit with patience. Have you heard the word of God? Have you believed the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you living out the word of God? This is what God wants for us. There is this eternal kingdom of God, and we become citizens through Christ. There will be trials and suffering and persecutions. There will be temptations to live to please ourselves and hoard things for ourselves and care more about the things of this world. But to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven is to bear fruit with patience. And it begins with right hearing of the word. And the believing what God has said and then seeking the power of the Spirit to live what he's told us to do. We all must do the work of examining our own hearts, asking God to show us what type of soil we are and to help us hear the word correctly, repenting of sin so that the word of God will grow and bear fruit. The kingdom of God is the only everlasting kingdom. If we are in Christ, we are now citizens of his kingdom. And so let's ask God to help us be a people that rightly hears the word of God. That we would be a people that bear fruit of the kingdom with patience, bringing him glory and not allowing the cares and the riches of this life to choke out the word of God. and the good news of the kingdom of God. As Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Father, we ask that you would continue to soften our ears to the truths of the Word of God. We thank you that through Christ we can be citizens of the everlasting kingdom of God. And yet, Father, we know that there are so many things that battle against us, our own sin, the lies of the world, the schemes of the devil. But Father, we know that the only way to live is live as citizens of the kingdom of God. So would you help us to have honest and good hearts, pure hearts, that we would hear and receive and live your word, that we would hear your word most loudly in our ears, most prominent in our ears. And then through your spirit, that we would be a people that bear fruit with patience, bringing you all the glory that is due your name. And we pray this in our Lord and Savior and the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Amen.